It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Always correct. As long as you're not talking political correctness. Bob McCowan in Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I don't know if they play this on CHFI. Not sure, but my guess is no. Greetings if you're just joining us. It's December the 2nd, 2016, and the roundtable has assembled. I'm Bob McCowan. This is Damian Cox right here. John Shannon continues to exist in the studio, although he's changed chairs.
Yes,
out of deference to Mr.
Music
Cox.
Music stopped. I moved over.
And Dave Perkins is with us at the far end, as always. You're very far away from Mr. Shannon. Do you not like Mr. Shannon at all?
I very much like Mr. Shannon.
Okay. They may ask you to slide over a little bit. Actually,
The director tells me.
Both of you could slide over a little bit.
I think he's aware that you're ailing and does not wish
sick.
To...
well, I am.
...to catch it.
Isn't that a compliment? You're sick, man.
Sick.
Don't try.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sick, man.
Actually, they don't say that.
What do they say?
Did anybody have questions for you last hour?
A lot of questions for me.
It was all about Shanny last hour. What's going on?
I know.
Well, Bob said, he set it up. You know, listen, I can't talk. I'm feeling a little under the weather.
No,
Damien shamed me into coming back
today.
What the hour should be called, the 4 to 5. Ask Shanny.
I'm telling you, you know, when I'm done here, which could be very soon, it might
be. Like 6 o'clock?
John Shannon and Damien Cox.
Whoa.
I'm telling you.
Oh, he wants Damien Cox and John Shannon.
That's exactly right.
That was the only thing he was complaining about was positioning.
Well, I don't know which he is going to sit in this chair.
Actually, I don't know why you'd need two names.
I mean, you're both just hanging on. Oh,
by a thread, Robert. By a thread.
Lots to talk about today. Let's get to some things. Tiger Woods, 7-under 65 at the Hero World Challenge at the Bahamas. It's his best round in 3 years, and that's intriguing. But and maybe I'll throw this at Perk first, since he's the other golf guy. I said to Shannon earlier, I don't know if you heard, but I watched all of Tiger's round yesterday and most of today's round. I really like his swing right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I think his swing is as good right now as it has been in 15 years. I think it is simple, it is without stress, and I think if he keeps swinging this way, he's got it, and he stays healthy, and that's a big if. You can't control that. It's going to be what it's going to be, but...
Like I watched for 2 days, and I immediately thought of 2001 when he was at his peak in terms of the way he played. The ball doesn't go as far as it did then, but... The putting was right back, that stress-free putting. He's got the Scotty Cameron putter, I noticed, back. He switched his clubs, switched equipment, and he's dropped, I guess, all the Nike stuff.
Well, they don't make it anymore,
I know.
Right?
So
I think he's still using the irons, isn't he?
But
I don't know. He's using TaylorMade woods.
But let's wait till Monday morning, because to me the important thing is not what he does this tournament or the next tournament or the next 10 tournaments. The important thing is walk 4 rounds, complete 4 rounds, see how you feel Monday. See if you hold together, and then see if you can do it again next week or next tournament.
Well, and can you maintain your practice regime between?
Correct, because he used to be a maniac for hitting balls and working out, and you know, he did. We used to say, you know, 15 years ago when he was at his peak, he'd not only beat these guys every week as he tended to. If they had a track and field day, he'd have won. You know what I mean? If they played. You know, Mensa mind games, he'd have won. Like, he was just that much above everybody else in terms of fitness, in terms of dedication, concentration, everything. the mental side of the game. He was miles ahead of everybody. That's what he needs to get back. But you can't get any of it back until your back doesn't hurt anymore and your knees don't hurt anymore. And he's 41 years old, and then he was 26, 27. So we have to – let's just see how it works out, but so far so good.
Well, I've been a pessimist, as you know, with regard to Tiger Woods and his future, and I'm changing my perspective.
I've been trying to get you excited about this for 2 months, and you it doesn't matter. He's not going to be as good as he was. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And now in one day, you're excited.
Well, I watched him hit. All I did is I watched one swing, and I said he stopped dropping his head. His swing looks the same as it did 15 years ago. He's still hitting the ball hard enough, but he's not jumping at it. He looks like he's under control. I mean, again, it's hard. We've seen 36 holes. He's played 9 bad holes. He's played 27 holes as good as anybody in this field, and this is an elite field.
Yep.
If you take just the front nine, I think he was 4 under on the front nine
today.
Yesterday,
yeah, he was.
Russie?
Yeah.
So, and he finished what?
71.
What? No, 73 yesterday.
73. So one over. Sorry, yeah.
What did, and what was he today? 65?
65.
Now, what they were explaining
about... So he's right at the top of the leaderboard.
But what they were explaining about this golf, and you know, because you like to go to the Bahamas, there's no wind today. And the course, as they were explaining it on the television, was Ernie Els designed the course and designed it with the greens don't have much slope or undulation because it's supposed to be played in the wind. So on a day where it has no wind, the course was relatively unarmed. But he did all those good things.
You can only compare him to the other players in the field.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean,
JB Holmes was ripping it up, and a couple of other guys. But yeah, not everybody.
DJ's at the top of the leaderboard. I think at 12 under.
I think Mariama's up there now.
Well, there's two. I think the two of them are tied at 12 under. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
The thing, and it is something that we talked about with that Dan Wetzel character earlier in the week, is will he be able to regain on a consistent basis the ability to get out of bad situations? Right. In other words, will he be able to putt his way back into greatness? And because that's really what he used to always do.
Absolutely.
Well, the other thing, too, is his wedge game was a disaster when he came back last time. We saw some shots that you wouldn't see a 36 handicap hit. That's how bad it was. And
hit a couple of nice wedges today.
He hit his great recovery. He was great around the greens both days. So, I mean, you don't know.
Now, to Perky's point, and they were discussing this on the broadcast as well, is let's see what happens here, but what can his schedule possibly be between now and the Masters? Can he play 2 tournaments? Can he play 5 tournaments? Can he play no tournaments?
I mean, he's going to play Torrey Pines because he's won there.
He loves Torrey
Pines. 6 times?
He loves Torrey Pines.
So when's that?
He's won a million. That's
February?
That's
February.
Yeah, that's a couple of months.
Do you think he'll go to Hawaii? You got 2 tournaments in Hawaii.
I don't think he's gone there for the first one. That's the
Tournament of Champions. The second
he
one
certainly
though.
Isn't going to go play the Sony. I wouldn't think.
You wouldn't think.
So, no, I don't think he'll change that much. I mean, Tiger's always been a character of habit. He wins a ton of his events on the same golf courses, right? Like he's won 6-7 at Torrey Pines, 6-7 at Firestone, 4 at Augusta,
Memorial.
He's there were certain golf courses Bay Hill destroys. He won 7 times at Bay Hill, something like that. He destroys certain. He knows how to play them. I'm predicting he plays all the places he's very comfortable on, comfortable with, and that leads you to
Pebble
Augusta.
Too, you know, he loves Pebble.
Yeah, he
remember the great one of the greatest.
But he stopped playing Pebble because of the greens.
That's right, but
because the greens were you know they're all bumpy with that Poa grass when the Poa took over years ago.
Well, we don't know. We there's no way to know, and I'm not sitting here saying.
Are you excited now that he's back?
I really like the way he looks.
Bob.
I really like the way his swing looks.
But
right
it's
now.
So much fun, I think, just to watch him.
So does so does Tiger need the tour more than the tour needs Tiger?
Well, here's what I can tell you as for an absolute fact. I would not have been in front of my television set at 12 noon yesterday if Tiger Woods wasn't playing.
Correct.
And I was there just to see, and I probably would have watched for 5 minutes if I saw the same Tiger, same kind of swing. But I saw something completely different, and I liked it so much, I thought, this is interesting. If this is his new swing, if this is what he's got now and what he's going to go with.
I mean, I think the answer to
that, I got to watch.
The tour is the tour, and it's going to have whatever it's going to be. but it's got to be better if he's involved. And you know, I don't even know if he has to contend. If he's just if he's playing top 10 golf, tour's got to be better.
Yeah, but I guess the base by question on since his collapse. And we all wondered what was going to happen with the tour. I mean, we've seen Rory come and dominate. We've seen Spieth do the same thing. We've seen Jason Day.
Justin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson, to a lesser extent. Yep. But we've seen some big names that people can actually identify with a little bit, which has been something that up until when Tiger wasn't, it was going to be Tiger and Phil. That's what it was going to be.
Right.
If it was Tiger and Phil were there, we were going to be okay. When Tiger left... And it took a couple of years for the young guys to take over. Right. I'm almost thinking that from a business perspective, I think Tiger probably needs the golf more than the golf needs Tiger.
Oh, I think it's both. I think if Tiger Woods can get his game back to, I mean, not where it once was, but to where he's competitive every week, the idea of adding Tiger Woods to Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Spieth. If you make that four, the best four, the best five, boy, that's got the potential for being captivating.
Because I can't imagine, when you talk about schedules with Tiger, I can't imagine Tiger committing a long stints on the tour. He'll be playing what I would describe as a minimal schedule. Don't you think?
But you don't know.
You don't know.
I
agree with Damien.
What rehab's he doing? What's his health? What are the doctors saying? You can do a lot. It's not like he's playing in the NFL. It's a grind, the tour. I get all that. But it's not like he's going out and getting hit by a 300-pound linebacker.
But he's had four major surgeries.
But guys, as you know, guys recover differently from surgeries. Sure. And guys discover new regimens. Mm-hmm. They start to do yoga. They start to do a million different things. And they say, why didn't I start doing this 20 years ago? I wouldn't be in the condition I am. So I think we have to see.
Well, we don't know what his motivation is either.
Yeah. His motivation is winning. That's why I say Tiger Woods doesn't need golf. He needs winning. That's what he needs. That's the only thing that motivates him.
But what are his distractions? What are the other things that are important to him now?
We want to know.
Family now. His family. I mean, he took a year and a half off this time, right? 500 days. And maybe this is the first time he's ever taken enough time. Mm-hmm. He didn't rush back. He didn't, get back for a month and then boom, get sidetracked again. He's out another couple of months.
Right.
Let's say he gave it a year and a half. He's coming all the way back. He said he learned to be a normal father, take his kids to their soccer games and such, and gymnastics and things. He's a 41-year-old guy. He's not a 20.
But maybe he goes back to what he was when he was 20 years old and just coming out on tour, and he played a lot. Maybe he goes back to that. Maybe he says, I'm going to play a lot.
When Nicklaus was getting older, how much did he play?
Jack hardly played at all.
Hardly at all.
Jack averaged 17 tournaments a year, but there was only 29 and or 30 tour events. And everybody said, Jack's got to play more. Well, now there's 44 tour events, or 43 or 42, whatever the number is this year. And Tiger plays 19 times, or at his peak.
So I think that's the question is, you guys would know the answer to this. How much does an elite golfer need to play to be sharp?
And to stay.
I don't think there's an answer to that, Damien.
Everybody's different. Bruce Lipsky wouldn't press their club for a month. He'd come up and win the Canadian Open.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I wonder too if the other factors start to go into, like if you're him, you would think avoid all unnecessary travel.
Well, the other thing.
So maybe he doesn't go play the British Open, right? Maybe
he doesn't. Oh no, he'll always.
No, but you know what I mean.
What he might not do is fly to Dubai for the $1 million guaranteed.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or fly to, he'll always go to Thailand because of his mother, but maybe he won't go to something somewhere.
Well, to the Emirates. He used to go to the Emirates all the time.
Right. Something like that.
But I don't know how much this was influenced Jack, because Jack never played a whole lot.
No.
Ever. But by the time Jack was in his early 30s, he was designing golf courses, and that became his other love. And by the time he was 40, he spent a lot more time designing golf courses than he did playing golf. He liked it more. And Tiger has done some golf courses, but I don't think – I don't have the sense – I don't know if you do, Perk. I don't think he loves that as much as Jack did. I don't know that that's going to be his distraction. And if he, if in the absence of that distraction, I think there's a chance he plays more this year if he's healthy.
Like Damien says, he's got to be physically able.
Do you think this, in simplest terms, goes back to trying to catch 18, trying to get to 18?
Sure does.
I mean, let's face it. At four,
can you imagine if he could win another one? Just one.
I mean, nine years later.
Well, listen, we all remember,
incredible.
Yeah. What tweaked me to the question was, is we all remember Jack at 46.
Sure.
I mean, and the putt on 17. Oh. I mean,
he'd been 6 years without a major at that point.
Yeah.
And he looked like, but we thought there's no chance. Jack's game had deteriorated to the point where he couldn't see anymore. His hip was already starting to bother him. Yeah. Like most of the shots he hit at Augusta on that Sunday, he didn't see them land. He didn't see his tee shot on 16 land. Couldn't see it anymore. You know? So
we all know that feeling.
Well, speak for yourself. Somewhere. David, speak for yourself, okay?
And then you don't need me to look for your ball next summer?
Then you get then you get older and maybe you can see it, but you can't remember where you hit it.
Or if you hit it.
Yeah.
Did I tee off?
Yeah.
What'll be interesting? What do you think his next move will be in terms of clubs? He's now, you know, he's gone away from the Nike ball. He brought back the Titleist putter.
Scotty Cameron.
Well, it's a Titleist, though.
Yeah,
it's a Scotty Cameron, but it's a Titleist putter. He's gone to TaylorMade Woods. I don't know what his irons are.
He said he was playing with Nike irons.
May still be. He's using a Bridgestone ball.
Maybe he's looking for new sponsors.
Of course he is.
What's his next move, though? Would he disdain the idea? I mean, if anybody could do it, it'd be Tiger. He may just say, I don't need the X millions of dollars I'll get to play a certain set of clubs. I'm going to play what I want.
Oh, I don't know about that. Tiger's very, very mercenary. Very mercenary.
Listen, there's a lot of guys that play whatever they want. They just tape over the logos, Bob. Yeah. You know that as well as I do.
Well, there's some of that.
Yeah. Sure.
But they
get the manufacturer basically to make
the club they want,
even if it isn't a club that the manufacturer makes, but they put the manufacturer's name on it.
Tiger always resented other people making money off him to the extent that when Mike Weir won the Masters and Tiger put the green jacket on him, and there's the picture of Tiger Woods helping Mike Weir on with the green jacket. After a few months, Mike Weir no longer was allowed to sign those pictures because Tiger had through IMG and they were both IMG guys.
Right.
Yeah. Tiger had expressed IMG. He doesn't like his image in there. Somebody else is making money off his image. And he asked Mike told me that once, that IMG asked them, please refrain from signing that picture. Because all the signed ones end up at the flea markets and the sports auctions and things. And Tiger was chapped that he wasn't making the money on them.
Yeah, I'm kind of hopeful that there's an older, softer.
You think there's been an epiphany?
Tiger.
Well, I think a lot of the stuff
that there came has out, in his a, swing. I don't
well,
know.
A lot of the stuff that came out of the Ryder Cup really made you think. Okay, maybe this guy's a little humble.
That's a good point too. Yeah.
You know, the way he went around with Patrick Reed and just walked the course while Reed played. You know, and was happy to just be in the background. The one. They showed the one image of him being in the picture, and they say, sorry, you're not in the picture. And he just walked off. And I think all that stuff has got to humble a guy, right?
Yep.
Got to humble a guy.
But if he ever comes down the stretch on a Sunday with one of Day or Johnson or McIlroy, and these are guys now who can bomb at 40, 50 yards past them.
Yeah.
If he ever comes down the stretch with them, the ratings will be through the roof.
Yes. And that's where the sport will enjoy him more, and the TV networks will jump on this big time, which is what they did today.
And that's why I think he means way more to the tour than the, you know, the other way around. I just think it'd be gigantic if he can get it going. Now, maybe he can't, but if he's around, you know, if he's, like I say, top 10 would be enough to get people really interested.
The Golf Channel yesterday and today, their coverage started with when Tiger Woods started. They showed every shot of Tiger Woods. They didn't have anybody at the course. They had announcers in the studio in Orlando doing the voiceover, you know, with that sound. And, I mean, it tells you everything you need to know. He is still the attraction.
He moves the needle.
He sure does.
And all those other guys move it that much, and he moves it that much.
We talked a lot about the Grey Cup last week, and it has now passed. General thoughts on the experience of the Grey Cup in Toronto. It was a full house. We expect that there were numerous complimentary tickets given out. Mm-hmm. We expect that we know that a lot of the tickets were sold for a lot less than what the original face value on them was.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a great one-day event. The problem is the Grey Cup's supposed to be a week-long event.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that's the challenge, and the television ratings are down significantly. Mm-hmm. So
you said like 20-something percent over the last 4 years?
Well, 12% from last year, but from 5 years ago, the last time they held the Grey Cup here, down like 20-some percent. So that's something that the CFL's got to confront, and in a meaningful way, I think. That now what the reasons are, our friend Mr. Shannon here might be able to speculate on that, and they could have to do with a lot of different things. But now this was always the slam dunk of the CFL season. If everything else went wrong, if some owner threw his keys on the table, if you know there were fires everywhere, if the American teams were playing on fields that were too long, too short, or too mm-hmm. narrow, you could count on the Grey Cup because it would draw a huge television number and everybody would get excited. Now this one, the gate was an issue. They managed to get that. But the numbers didn't show up on TV, and that's fascinating
now,
to me.
Now, when we say numbers didn't show up on TV, there were still more than almost 3.5 million people did watch. And when you carve out the lack of interest from the local market, I think that and it's hard to do that, but really, to your point about the one-day event, I mean, there was no hype. There was no experience on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I think there'd be enough for a lot of people to hang on to, saying, "Hey, we're okay." Now the leagues, other than the Argonauts, the league is in pretty good shape. So it wasn't as if they needed to be, they needed to have a savior game, to do it.
And they
did have a great game. They did have a great game. As they usually do.
Yeah. And which is why, I mean, this is the lowest number, I think, since they got the game from CBC.
Rated game on TSN then, because it was on CTV right. for a few.
And so, when you got a league that's now a 25,000 a game average league, that's what they get. There's no more 60,000s, 50,000. Right. That's those days are gone. So it's a $25,000. And as I said to you, I think recently, it's almost like it's a studio league. Like it's all for the benefit of television. And without TSN, there is no Canadian Football League because they're writing the big check.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that this has got to be of some concern to them because they produced a great game with a really good stories of the Ottawa Red Blacks and the Calgary Stampeders, who could have been one of the great teams in CFL history. So there was no element missing here other than apathy in the market where the game was being held. But should that have, you know, not translated into better television numbers?
Yeah. If you carve out 40% of the TV market, which Southern Ontario is in this country, if you carve out a very little interest in that much, boy, maybe 3.5 is pretty good.
No, do you think just because people who are going to watch are going to watch, aren't they?
I live on a small cul-de-sac with 12 or 13 homes on it. I was out walking the dogs 2 hours before the game, and I walked two people, and I said, "You're going to watch the game?" And they said, "What game are you talking about?" I mean, in my neighborhood, and we're not talking young people. We're talking people in their 40s. And this is where the CFL and the Argonauts screwed up. There was no vibe at all. There was no vibe at all in the market. And the vibe only existed when you saw a guy in a Saskatchewan Rough Rider sweater jersey or a Lions jersey or a Stampeder guy at a bar. But there was no reason for the local market to get excited, period. And that if the game was in Calgary, where the sport is higher on the ladder, or in Ottawa or in Edmonton or Winnipeg, this would not have been an issue.
I don't know, John. The number has been steadily decreasing for 5 years, and all those games haven't been in Toronto.
No, I understand. I just think that there's so much momentum from how bad the Argonauts were.
Well, and you know, we have that debate. Would the league be better off without Toronto? Without I think there's some indication here that you could look at and say, look, if they get nothing out of Toronto, it's pretty hard for that league to get the whole country excited. But they've got to breathe some life into this Toronto franchise.
Right. But things aren't all rosy in Montreal or Vancouver. Now you got the three biggest cities in the country.
Right.
Now, I mean, obviously in those other two places, it's not as bad as it is here, where CFL basically is off the map now.
Well, but, I mean, really, we say there's nobody going out of business. Who's the big success story right now in this league?
Ottawa.
What a change that is.
And 5 years ago, it was empty.
We all know the Ottawa market pretty well. We've all been to Ottawa. Like, I've been there for all the franchises. I've been there for all four of them. And we know how fickle that market can be.
And the challenge there is that, yeah, they're going to the Red Blacks game, which means they're not going to the Senators games anymore. They're way down.
But the Red Blacks are winning enough. There was a lot of years that, whether it be the Rough Riders or the Renegades or whatever the name of the team was, that they weren't winning and weren't going. I mean, these people like to go to watch teams win.
Everybody does.
Well, everybody does. But,
anyway. I just think that before we ordain Ottawa as the football capital of the country right now.
But Ottawa is one of the...
It's a bright story.
Right, but what I was going to say was Ottawa is one of the smallest markets, right? I'm not sure which Regina would be smaller.
I don't think so. But so not by that much.
Right. So if your smallest markets now are your biggest success story, that tells you something about what's going on. As Perky said, in Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto, Edmonton.
Yeah.
How many years are we into Ottawa's rebirth? 3 years?
3 years.
I mean,
it's early.
Really, is it sustainable? Are we comfortable that Ottawa is going to be strong for the next 3 years? I mean, I would assume they'll be great next year because they're defending Grey Cup champions and people love a winner and blah, blah, blah.
Now, but they do have a good young quarterback, but they're also right now the hero of the Grey Cup was a guy 41 years old. And you talk about Montreal. If you looked at all the mistakes Montreal made over the years was that they lived and died with Anthony Calvillo too long, and they didn't build a succession plan for Anthony Calvillo, and that's a problem because
it's
easier said than done. But with quarterbacks,
they used to.
I don't know. Look, here in Toronto, that's one of the biggest problems too. Is they kept trying to wheel Ricky Ray up there, and he'd play four games, and then he'd be out again, and they go, "Who's going to play quarterback now?" So in the CFL, there's not a lot of
long-term they did the
planning.
Same thing with Damon Allen before they got Ricky Ray. And, I mean, Damon Allen, to his credit, actually got the job done most of the time.
Yeah.
We got to take the break. When we come back, Toronto FC going to the MLS championship game. A Major League Baseball owners and players have now got a new CBA opening the door to what? We'll talk about that more when Primetime continues in a moment.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more great sports talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Before the hour, Primetime continues. Bob McCown, Damien Cox, John Shannon, Dave Perkins around the table. So during the profanity-laden commercial break...
Jeez, that was ugly. Awful.
Well, it wasn't profanity-laden if you were listening to the commercials, but what we were talking about. There was a conversation about TFC, soccer, MLS championship game, and...
Because we're always talking TFC around here. Just every day after every day. Soccer.
It's 2 days in a row. We talked to yesterday a lot.
But he wasn't here, so that didn't count.
Well, Perk, but good for them.
Perk had a good question, for them, right? Yeah.
But my question was, and I, you know, for years I've been asking people, I like the CFL football. You know, I don't go to a lot of games.
I never knew that.
But I like the game. I like the product.
You hit it well.
I asked people, I say, how come you don't? And endlessly, the answer I get the most is, well, it's not the best. It's not the great stuff. And, you know, this is Toronto. We fancy ourselves in a league with Los Angeles, and we get to see LeBron James come in, and the Yankees come here, and everybody, all the big shots come here, and blah, blah, blah. And CFL, I say, okay, if that's your rationale, fine. Then I look at the MLS. I have nothing against it. God bless them. I'm glad they're doing well. But that's miles from being the best soccer league in the world.
But they still are playing against Los Angeles and playing against Chicago. Is it simply that
Toronto has accepted and sold a ton of tickets for this team over the last X number of years because the opposition chest doesn't say Regina and Hamilton. It says Los Angeles and Chicago.
I think that's part of it.
Is that really part of it?
Yep. So if the Canadian Football League expanded to Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago,
let's not go down that.
But we've already done that with Las Vegas and Baltimore.
No. Yeah, you did it with Baltimore and Shreveport and Memphis and Sacramento. You didn't do it with New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Right. So John,
I know that's a great question.
But is it that simple? Is it really that simple?
Of course it's not.
No, but I think your question is intriguing because I really can't give you an answer.
Yeah, I am.
Because I'm not one, I think we had this argument recently, I'm not one who really thinks, no, we were talking about this last week. You were saying you think Torontonians are always looking to the U.S. to legitimize themselves. I don't feel that way. I mean, people who follow the Leafs get just as excited when Montreal's in town, when the Canadian teams are in town. But I don't really, that's a great thing. What's the difference?
Yeah, why do we, you know, dismiss the CFL out of hand as being a less than
second
the greatest
rate
product?
Okay. Well, do you think when it comes to the football side or the North American football side that there's an assumption by a lot of people, by the unwashed, that says if we didn't have a CFL team, we would have an NFL team?
Oh,
and so therefore we're going to criticize the CFL team to get the NFL team?
That makes it sound calculated.
Yeah, but haven't we danced enough with the NFL here and really not enjoyed the music? I mean, it's been the last bunch was a disaster.
But if I
the Bills here.
If I had the Toronto Towers of the NFL, a full-time NFL franchise here, you don't think it would be a success?
Oh, I think the NFL is just starting to go like this. I mean, their product is horrible. Those games are pretty much unwatchable, right? I mean, the ratings reveal that this year. And I think this whole, you know, mamas aren't letting their kids play football. 20 years from now, we're gonna see that a huge drop off.
But I think you can set that same logic. NFL. I think a lot of that logic you can use with the CFL product too.
Well,
you know, I'm from that perspective, and I'm a huge CFL proponent. I love the game. I think it's fantastic.
I think it's a far better game than the junk I watch on the NFL most nights.
The other thing too is this. Here's an idea. Let me run this one past you. Tell me if you like this. If you are a football fan in Canada, you can go to your local game or say, no, I like the NFL better. I'm going to go to Detroit. I'm going to go to Buffalo. I'm going to go further afield.
Seattle.
And I'm going to go and I'm going to watch a game there because that's something I prefer. I think that's better. I want to do that. You're in Toronto. You say, okay, I don't want to watch MLS. I'm going to watch Serie A or I'm going to watch well, hang on. I can't go to Barcelona this weekend and I can't go to London and I can't go to so it seems that much more distant, and so you more maybe this is just an idea. Maybe you're more likely to accept what you've got because that's all you've got. You don't have the option to drive to Buffalo and see high end soccer, so you take what you got.
Well, maybe I
do think you'd take what you get here when it comes to the MLS.
Do make it an awful lot of fun down there. Like those,
those
red patches. I don't know how much going on there, and I don't know why there's a smoke bomb every 5 minutes, but they sure are having fun. And when was the last time you heard people say, "I went to the Argonaut game, and man, it was packed, and it was so much fun."
Yeah, well, that's another issue entirely, isn't it? But
well, look, it is it's fine for the soccer people. I think that and so now is not the time to address this situation because you finally have a team that is accomplishing something in this city after 10 years of being absolutely pathetic. And they, you know, they started down the right road last year by making the playoffs, made a quick exit, and now they've taken a couple of steps more and are in the championship game, and there's no reason to believe they can't or won't win the MLS championship. And that will make TFC fans very happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, with due respect, what they do is they put blinders on or blinkers on and don't want to acknowledge the quality of the product that they are supporting. In the and the way they would criticize the Canadian Football League by comparison to the NFL, and we all acknowledge it's not. These are players playing the CFL who aren't good enough to play in the NFL. Coincidentally, the TFC players, the MLS players, aren't nearly good enough to play in the Premiership or the Serie A or any of the big leagues around the world. And even in a game as exciting as last week's game against Montreal, even a, or this week's game against Montreal, it was only a few nights ago, even a marginal soccer observer, I'm not a fan, but I watched the odd game. I mean, I thought the quality of play was laughable.
Oh,
I thought it was horrid.
You're exaggerating to make a point.
I'm not exaggerating to make any point.
Yeah, you are, because
you weren't watching. If you think that was good soccer,
you don't watch enough soccer to be able to say
I understand
what's
soccer.
Good or substandard, but laughable. And to say that they're not nearly good enough. Well, guys like Michael Bradley and Jose Altidore, these are international players who play at the highest level. Now,
who have played at the highest level.
No, they still do. They just got back from playing for the United States internationally. So to say that it's not nearly good and the quality is laughable, that's unfair.
See, I'm one of those guys that watched a lot of the game on Wednesday night thinking if MLS had more scoring like this game I would watch more.
Well, we all would.
I mean, you know, sports at every level is a game of mistakes. And you know, if there's mistakes made and there's scoring opportunities created, then it's fun to watch.
Yeah, Jeff Blair was, as you know, was because Bob was ailing, was here yesterday, and he does watch a lot of soccer. And he said, and I thought it was interesting, not the quality's not as good. He said, but the one thing about MLS is that he thinks that it's carving out its own distinct identity in that it is a bruising brand of soccer. And it is a very, very physical style here, more physical than many of the leagues around the world. And I thought, well, that's interesting, you know, that if that's what they can sell.
Do the rules allow that to happen?
Well, you know.
I mean, I don't understand that statement even at all.
Well, we'll get to it. Can you get Jeff on the phone?
It's a fundamentally non-contact sport. You know, I mean, I know they run into each other now and again.
Oh, it is not a non-contact sport.
And sometimes they get called for a penalty and sometimes they don't. I understand that. But essentially, if you are going to be physical, then you are going to get penalties called.
Do they call it differently in the MLS? No, there's not. But you can. There's a lot of bumps.
Any sport, we've all. It doesn't matter what sport. Basketball.
Yeah, it's like
hockey,
saying the NBA is not.
You hear, the referees are letting them play tonight. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's.
But it's similar. I mean, the NBA in theory is non-contact. Well, there's lots of theory. There's a lot of contact.
They smash the hell out of each other.
Yeah. So. But I look, I'm kind of with John. You entertain me like that, I'll watch.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And
that's the one thing I think. A high scoring brand of soccer is naturally seen as
a failure.
Not good
as a failure
because nil-nil. Well, that's perfection.
The purest of it. Yeah.
Right.
But you know this team, and you got to give the fans credit and say for their sake, you're happy about this turn of events. Because they did support this team pretty vociferously when the team was horrible.
A hardcore certainly did.
And they didn't just sit there and buy tickets quietly. They were organized in their protest to management. Yeah. They raised their voices. They raised hell when they had to. And good for them.
See, I think I said this the last hour. I really think this is a time for that group of people, those guys that you know, the guys in the corners. is to just embrace this time and enjoy it and have fun and don't walk around with your chip on your shoulders saying, how do you like us now?
Well, you know what, though? The number one question I've received since that game on Wednesday, will Bob come to the MLS
Cup?
And are you prepared right now, Bob McCown, to attend the championship game?
No, I'm prepared to answer the question, though.
Of course he's not.
So, I think you did.
Could he lend you 20 instead?
What if Pinball invites you to his box?
Pinball dragged my sorry ass to BMO Field for the first time to watch the Grey Cup game, and I stayed for the first half, which probably lets you know what I think of BMO Field. But to go to a soccer game, no. No, that is not.
No, Damien, if I got
that
tickets,
is not going to happen.
Would you go to the game?
Oh, I think I'm going to try to go.
Are you? Okay, good.
Yeah, well, I've never been down there. I'd like to. I don't know. I may not go again, but I'd like to go. Hey, it's a championship game.
You're going to sit in a snowstorm?
Yeah, that's
the summer. Why do they wait 2 weeks from the first round of the playoffs to the next round?
Because that's when the international gap for international play.
They had to play.
I thought there were.
You wouldn't know it, of course.
Thanksgiving.
You wouldn't know it, of course, because we don't play.
Well, Canada.
Right.
That's another story.
We're in a different schedule.
We're waiting to do that soccer summit anytime.
But ultimately, I'm not dumping on anything. But until there's a professional league in Canada, there's nothing for little kids to look up to, right? Until there's a way for kids to grow up saying, I want to be
part of
the FC. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it's here now, and if it's established, finally, there's a chance for a kid to grow up somewhere and say, hey, maybe I can play for the Impact.
And one of the guys scoring a goal the other night was a Canadian guy from Edmonton.
Yeah. You know?
And that's exactly your point.
And that's what it needed, a professional league to have a landing spot for. It's like girls with hockey, right? There had to be a significant, carrot for them out there. Maybe someday I can be where Haley Wickenheiser is or whatever.
How long did the league last in the 70s and 80s?
About 15, 20 years.
I mean, By the way, NASL?
Did we see a tangible impact from that? League last 15 or 20 years?
They went big, right? They brought in Pelé and Canadian.
But they lasted for 20 years, and we didn't see. You know, you're talking about kids can look at the game and now aspire to be.
Yeah, but Bob, there's a big difference.
Why didn't they then?
Because these guys aren't going anywhere.
No, but there was also a different quota system on these teams of who plays and how many imports play.
What's that got to do with a 10-year-old kid and deciding what he wants to do? I don't think that 10-year-old kid knows.
No, I think your point is that league disappeared, and therefore. This league is not going anywhere, and this team is not going anywhere.
Well, I'm sure that people in the North American Soccer League 10 years in didn't think it was going anywhere either, and it did ultimately.
Well, by the way, Robert... Who owned the Toronto Blizzard?
Global TV
for a long time.
Yeah. Rogers and Bell own Toronto FC. Right. They're not going anywhere.
By the way, Robert, you have an invite to a private box at the MLS Cup as of right now.
Wow. Just like that.
Sorry, I'm busy.
Robert...
I honestly, it's respectfully to everybody.
Oh, I don't think there's any respect.
No,
with Toronto FC and the MLS, I'm not interested.
They have good hors d'oeuvres, Bob.
I've tried the hors d'oeuvres at BMO Field. I'll stay at home and make my own damn hors d'oeuvres. And probably I'll watch some of the game.
I'm not sure you and I
maybe are even
to
all
that
of
box.
It if it's entertaining.
We have to go on StubHub.
That's okay.
The damn well better score at least 7 goals.
Aggregate, man. By the way, because do you remember when we used to have aggregate in the Canadian Football League, Dave?
48. 48 was no good.
How can you do aggregate in the semifinal and then one game in the final? Does that make any sense to anybody?
Well, we did that in the CFL for years.
Yeah, how are they doing?
The CFL
still
around.
I rest my case, barely.
Two-game total point.
Hey, the West used to have a best 2 out of 3.
Can you shut up for 2 seconds?
No, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday.
Quit waxing eloquent. A new CBA for major league owners. We'll talk about that. Where are the Blue Jays headed? We'll try and figure that out. A bunch of hockey talk, a little basketball as well when primetime continues.